Hey, aren't you thankful for that powerful name of Jesus? I mean, it is a wonderful name. It's a beautiful name. It is a powerful name. Let's just give it up for Jesus this morning. Let's celebrate Him, who He is, because it is a name that changes everything. You know, we're in a series entitled Truth Wins, and truth changes everything. No matter who you are, no matter where you're at, when you learn a truth, it just kind of changes everything. If you were here last night and you were a part of the night with John Branyon and the celebration with him, we learned some fun things and we got to laugh a lot. And some of those they were great laughs, but there was a couple of them that were at my expense. And it just kind of dawned on me last night as he's sharing, you know, truth does win. Chances are in heaven, you're not going to hear me preach again. So I just thought with that truth in mind, we could spend a little more time together in the coming weeks. We just go ahead and lengthen our services so I can get it all out, right? Some of you are going, wow, that's not why we laughed. All right. You know, when you think about certain truths, truth do change everything. But sometimes we wonder if that truth changes it for us. Why? Because we're going through something that's just a tremendous struggle. We're maybe in a place of life that we've never been before. How many of you have ever had that emotional battle or emotional struggle? That problem that rose up that you just couldn't solve? Maybe it led to discouragement. Let's just be honest. Maybe it led to depression. Maybe anxiety, it just crept in, and when certain situations would arise, it causes your heart to beat a little faster, literally. I think that if we're honest, many of us today have battled discouragement, we've battled depression. We know that many people in our community today and in our culture, in our world, face those kind of things. We don't necessarily always like to go ahead and talk about them, but the reality of it is this. Nearly 25% of our culture and our nation deals with it on a daily basis. The emotional battles and struggles of life are very real. So what do we do when we find ourselves in that place? How do we cope? How do we go ahead and move forward when we feel like we're literally just hanging on by a thread? What do we do when we come to that place and point where we feel like we just can't take anymore and we can't go a step further? There's something I want you to know this morning, and it's this. If you feel that way or have felt that way, I want you to know that you're not alone. Today we're going to go back to the Old Testament and we're going to take a look at a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah was a very important figure in the life of Israel. He's someone that we can go back and look at and learn so much from today for my life and for your life, and we can discover how we can go ahead and win with the emotional battles and struggles of life, because we all face them. We all are bombarded at them. It just comes to us in different waves. It comes to us at different times and maybe for some different reasons. But the Bible gives us a truth that we can go ahead and look at and we can begin to learn from and we can begin to go ahead and have victory today. Because my guess is this, in a crowd this size, that we want to overcome the emotional struggles that we're facing. And not only do we want to overcome them, but many of us are dealing with them right now and we're dealing with all different types of them. But can I tell you something? We go ahead and we bring it all back and we can trace it to one common truth and we can go ahead and discover that no matter who we are, no matter where we're at in this thing we call life, that truth really does win. So let's go ahead and jump into 1 Kings chapter 19. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to go ahead and we're going to pick up Elijah on the run. It's not a good point for Elijah. We're going to go ahead and read the first four verses of that, and then we're going to just kind of walk through just a couple of things. In 1 Kings chapter 19, the first four verses, it says this, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done." Real quickly, Elijah had just had a showdown between himself and the prophets of Baal. Elijah had said, "Look, I believe that the God that I serve and the God that I worship, He alone is God." And Jezebel, the queen and leader of a nation, and Ahab there said, "No, we don't believe that." And some other people said, "No, we really don't believe that." And a long story short, Elijah just said, "Okay, let's go ahead and put our money where our mouth is. Let's make an altar. You go ahead and offer up a sacrifice and try and call down fire from heaven. And if your gods can do that, then you know what? We'll go ahead and worship them. But I know those prophets can't do that, and the gods can't do that because those gods don't exist. So they go ahead and they make an effort of it, and hour after hour, they're just trying to go ahead and call fire from heaven. They're trying to consume that sacrifice, and the bottom line is this, they can't. Elijah steps out and says, okay, we're going to go ahead and make it fair. I believe that my God is who he says he is, and I believe that my God can do the impossible, so here's what I want to do. All of this is contained in 1 Kings 18. You can go back and read all the details. But he says, here's what I want to do. I want to go ahead and I want to rebuild the altar because you guys have just went nuts. Okay, you've torn the thing down trying to get fire. You've done everything. You've cut yourself. You've climbed on the altar. You've done all kinds of crazy things. None of it worked. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and make the altar look like an altar. We're going to go ahead and put it back the way it needs to be. We're going to dig a trench around it, and we're just going to pour water all over this wood, and we're going to go ahead and pour water all over it so that it possibly couldn't light by itself. We can have no mistake about it. So Elijah goes ahead and does that, and then he begins to pray, and he continues to pray, and he continues to pray some more, and then in a moment's notice, the fire falls, the sacrifice is consumed, the altar and all the water that's around it is just dried up, and people are going, wow, the Lord, he is God. Elijah's coming off this great experience. Elijah's coming off this victory, but it says this, and Ahab went home and he told his wife all that Elijah had done. There's a lot in there. A lot that we go back and pick up. It says, and also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. It says, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying this, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. That's his death sentence. That's not a love note. This is a woman that's ticked off. She tends to go ahead and get what she wants, and at this point in time, she wants revenge. And she says, you went ahead and took the life of my prophets. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and show you how great your God isn't, and I'm going to take your life. We continue to read. It says, and we saw that. When he saw that, he arose, he ran for his life, he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom or a juniper tree, and he prayed that he might die. I want to read that again. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. He says, God, I can't take anymore. The emotional struggle is just way too much for me. I'm drowning in this pain. I'm in a moment of despair, and I can't handle it. Yesterday, just previously, there was a great victory, and right now, my life is falling apart. I can't handle it on the inside. I've got a lady who is determined to kill me. Now what am I going to do? It is enough. He said, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Let's just go ahead and take a look real quickly at Elijah. There's some things that I want you to get about Elijah before we begin to go ahead and unpack those 12 sermon points this morning. Since I'm not preaching in heaven, I'm going to preach a while here. Something I want you to know about Elijah, and here's just a first simple thing, is that he walked with God. Elijah and God had conversations, and this is important that we understand this. Okay, Elijah walked with God. How many of you have ever had a very important person walk by and say your name, or an influential person, someone that you look up to? Anybody ever had somebody just come by and say your name, and it just kind of made you feel good? Maybe you were with some friends, and other people said, wow, you know them? Well, I want to tell you something. That's Elijah at this point in time. Elijah is on a first-name basis with God. Elijah is God's spokesman to God's people. He walked with God. There's another thing, and it's this. Elijah worshiped God. You see, when everybody came in and they were gathering and they were worshiping and they were proclaiming who God is and they were believing that God is the answer and that God is the way and that God is the hope, Elijah was right there in the middle of them. He's in the center of it. He worshiped God. Can I tell you something else? Elijah won with God. Elijah, in 1 Kings 18, went out and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And God answered his prayer, and he sent down fire, a fire that consumed a sacrifice. It consumed all the water. It consumed the wood. It was just taken up, just like that. And people said, wow, we want this guy's card. These other prophets, they've been lying to us. They've been deceiving us. Let's go and do as he said, and let's get them. And they would slay them right there in that valley. Elijah won with God. But do you know where we find Elijah in 1 Kings 19? Elijah is battling discouragement. Elijah is to a point where he says, you know what? I don't even want to live anymore. Elijah goes out and he says, look, I'm going to run and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to drop my servant off someplace and I'm going out and I just want to die. And the prayer is no longer, God, would you go ahead and send down fire and prove who you are? He says, I can't take life anymore. God, would you please take mine? Now, I want to tell you something. When we begin to look through the story of Isaiah, we find a person that walked with God. We find a person that worshiped God. We find a person that knew what it was like to win with God. He called down fire from heaven. He defeated the 450 prophets of Baal. How did he come to the end of his rope? There's a little word that's tucked away in verse number 3, and it just says, and when he saw that, what did he see? He saw the threat from Jezebel. He saw people coming against him. He saw the circumstances of life beginning to change. And he said, wow, I can't take this anymore. How did he get to the end of his rope? Here it is. He could only see the circumstances, not the God of the circumstances. You see, in just a previous chapter, 1 Kings 18, Elijah is on top of the world, and he sees a God who sends down fire. He believes in a God who can go ahead and protect him and provide for him and work in his life and do the miraculous and perform the impossible. But now, here's where he's at. He can only go ahead and see the circumstances. He can no longer see the God of the circumstances. You see, just a short time before, he's challenging people and prophets and leaders, and he says, look, my God is greater than your God. I can go ahead and take care of this. All I've got to do is pray, and God's going to go ahead and show his greatness. And there was a little bit of opposition at that point in time, but he's not looking at his circumstances. He's looking at the God of the circumstances, and now all that Elijah can see is the circumstances, and he doesn't see God anywhere near them. What's Elijah dealing with? He's got a crisis of faith. He's honestly saying, God, are you there? God, what's going on? Maybe some of you have been there. Maybe you feel like, John, not only have I been there, I am there, and I've been here way too long, and I'm tired of it, and I don't feel I can hang on. I just don't want this feeling. I don't want this emotion. I'm tired of the discouragement. I'm tired of the anxiety. I'm tired of the uncertainty that just creeps in. Elijah had a crisis of faith. He had a crisis of hope. He doesn't know that it'll ever get any better. He says, God, I just can't take anymore. We got a guy who just called down fire from heaven just a short time before. Circumstances have now changed. He can no longer see God. He can only see his circumstances. So he's at a crisis of faith. He's at a crisis of hope. Will it ever get any better? And he's in a crisis of control. Now he's controlled by fear. You say, how do you know that? The moment that he got the notice from Jezebel, what does he do? He packs up and he runs. Fear is now controlling his life, not faith. Anxiety is now controlling his life. He's just taking each step and saying it's only going to get worse. Discouragement's going to creep in. It's going to lead to depression. He's controlled by fear, disappointment, anxiety, worry. We go ahead and come up with a negative emotion at this point in time, and that's exactly what Elijah is feeling. He thinks he's alone. He goes ahead and he neglects his own needs. He begins to just go ahead and run for his life. He begins to go ahead and step out of where he's at, and he's saying, look, I'm just getting away from here. He's got no food, no rest, no focus on God, just fleeing the scene. Now, what do we learn from Elijah? I think one of the things that we learn is we might have some things in common with him from time to time, right? Anybody ever feel like fear just creeps into your life and all of a sudden you got to react because it's kind of gripping you and controlling you? Anybody ever have anxiety get the best of you? Maybe there's times when you, like Elijah, just seem to say, Lord, I can't take anymore. I'm literally just hanging on by a thread, and God, I don't know why I'm here, and I don't know what's going on, and I don't know why you're allowing it to happen, but I really don't like it. You see, the story of Elijah teaches us more than just for every high there's a low, because we know that. We know some different things about it, but let's look at how we can go ahead and learn from the truth that's contained in his story and how we can overcome some of the struggles of our life. One of the things that we learn, and this is really important and we need to get it, and it's this: no one is immune. No one is immune to the emotional struggles of life. No one is immune to the fear, the anxiety, the discouragement, the depression. No one is immune. It crept into the life of Elijah, the prophet of God, one that walked with God, one that worshiped God, one that won with God. It seems to me like he had it all together in one moment, and then the next moment, it gets a little step in, just a little crack. He begins to wonder what's going to take place. When he gets the note from Jezebel, he looks and he says, wow, who am I doing battle with her? He can only see the circumstance. He can't see the God of the circumstance. Because the only thing that has changed in Elijah's life are now the circumstances. The circumstances are a little bit different, but God is still God. And Elijah can still walk with him, and he can still worship with him, and he can still win with him. But in this moment, he begins to think, wow, what am I going to do? No one is immune. You see, Elijah wasn't immune from betrayal. He wasn't immune from persecution, because that was what was taking place. But it led to something that maybe we think would never happen to us. And it's a reality. It's this: no one is immune from betrayal. We're going to be betrayed in this life. Can I tell you? We will have that. It's going to happen. No one is immune. No one is immune from persecution. People will say mean things about you. People will say untrue things about you. That's just the reality of life. I wish I could say it wasn't. I wish I could say walking with God and worshiping God and winning with God would eliminate all those things, but it doesn't. No one is immune. No one is immune from depression. No one is immune from discouragement. No one is immune from fear. No one is immune from anxiety. No one is immune from death or wanting to die. That's where Elijah is at this point in time. And it's important that we understand that, because there's this myth in the Christian faith, and we don't talk about some of these things in the church very much, because let's just be honest. We go ahead and read a Bible verse, and we're supposed to overcome everything. Well, I'm pretty certain that Elijah knew a lot of what had been handed down, and Elijah's still dealing with it. And here's what happens in Elijah's life. He understands that all these problems are creeping in, and they become larger than life. So what do we do? First thing is realize no one is immune. The second thing that we've got to learn is this: since we're not immune, what are we going to do? Since we're not immune, it means it can happen and very likely will happen. So what do we do? We need to realize this, that we are human and we must depend on God. You see, for a moment, Elijah looked like a superhero, right? I mean, you go out and you call down fire, that's pretty amazing. I don't know about you, but if I was there on that day and had accomplished that, I would have been like, that was pretty good. I mean, just to give you an idea, every once in a while around here, we sit around as a staff, and it's usually few and far between, but we go ahead and say, man, that was a great service. I mean, we just hit a home run, right? I mean, we couldn't have done anything better. A lot of times we say, man, we could have placed this better, and I'm my own biggest critic, and I'll say, man, I wish I would have said this, and I wish I would have phrased that way. You call down fire from heaven, I promise you, you're leaving, you're going, wow, I just did something incredible. You know what? There's a tendency for us to begin to go ahead and depend upon ourselves rather than depend upon God. And here's the reality. No matter how good a day we might be having or how bad a day we might be having, we're human. We're not superheroes. We're not superhuman. We are weak. What does that mean? When we're weak, He can be strong. That's what that means. What does it mean? We got to trust Him for strength. We're only strong when we depend upon Him. Well, what had Elijah done? Elijah had ran, and he had ran from God, and he's doing all he can to get away from God. And here's what happens as we continue to read just a little bit further. In verse number 5, it says this, "Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree." Do you know what happened? Elijah was so exhausted by the struggles of life that he literally said, I want to die, and he lays down and he goes to sleep. He's emotionally spent. Do you know one of the greatest struggles in my life and the greatest struggles is in your life? It's this, our tendency to go ahead and carry everything ourselves and not take it to the Lord. Do you know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28? He says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come unto me, all who are burdened in dealing with the struggles of life, and I will give you rest." The trouble is this. A lot of times we're living life on the run, and we won't come and rest at Jesus' feet. We won't come to God and just spend some time there and go ahead and give Him the struggles of our life. Well, there's something else that begins to go ahead and take place that we're going to learn in Elijah's life. It's very important. Verse number 5, it says, "Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, Arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake or bread baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." Did you know the Bible gives us just a little picture there? That an angel prepared bread for him. Do you know what Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse number 35? He says, "I am the bread of life." Do you know what Jesus was telling us? Jesus was telling us that He's the sustainer of life. And when you and I go ahead and enter times of struggles, and long before we get there, here's the key to getting beyond it, and here's a key to overcoming it. Here's a key to fighting it off. It's to find our rest and our strength and our hope in Him. Because Jesus was saying, if you will make me your source of life, if we will turn to Him and trust Him and depend on Him, do you know what He says? He will help us overcome it. He doesn't say, I'll make you immune from it. He says, I'll help you overcome it. I will walk with you through it. You see, Elijah has done what many of us tend to do, and it's this: when circumstances change, when depression begins to creep in, when we feel a little bit of fear settling in, when anxiety goes ahead, instead of going to God, we go from God. Instead of running to Him for rest and hope, we begin to move everywhere else and anywhere else, and we're no longer relying upon Him. You see, we're not immune from it. But we are human, and we need to depend upon Him. Here's a third thing, is this: we need other people. We need other people. Do you know what Elijah does? He drops off his servant, and he goes, and he sits by himself. And do you know what Elijah says? He says, I'm alone. Do you know what we learn? We learn from the story of Elijah that we're not immune to the struggles and the battles and the emotions of this life. We are not immune. No matter how good we might think we are, we're not immune to that. But we also learn that we can't handle it ourselves because the Bible says the journey is too great for you. Elijah is given bread, and it's symbolic that we can't do this life on our own. The journey and the requirements of life and the battles and struggles of life and overcoming the emotional battles and the circumstances of life are too great for us. We can't do it ourselves. We need God. But there's something else that's tucked away in this passage, and it's this: we need others. Elijah goes and he sits down under the juniper tree and he says, "Wow, I'm all alone. I'm all alone. I'm here by myself." Verse number 8, it says, "So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' So he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword.'" And here's what he says: "I alone am left." Elijah says, "I'm by myself in this. Nobody else knows how I feel. Nobody else knows what I'm going through." Can I tell you something? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18, it's not good for man to be alone. God didn't design you to be alone. He designed us for a relationship with Him. He designed us to go ahead and accept that relationship with Him and to be a part of a body, to be connected to the body, because we are not designed to be alone. But here's what happens. We believe that if we go ahead and we worship God and we walk with God and we win with God, that our life is going to go ahead and be perfect. And if something begins to happen in our life, like depression, or if anxiety creeps in, or if we begin to have some struggles that we think are foreign to the Christian life, we begin to go ahead and say, "What's wrong with me? I tried the Jesus thing. I tried the church thing. It didn't work, so I'm going to go ahead and withdraw." And here's the reality: we're not alone in walking with God and having problems. We're not alone in worshiping God and having struggles. We're not alone in winning with God and facing some battles and having our circumstances go ahead and flip on us just like that. We're not alone. You see, God goes ahead and continues the conversation with Elijah, and here's what he tells him. He says, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And here's what the still small voice had to say: "So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I've been very zealous for you, the Lord God of hosts, because of the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars and killed your prophets. I am alone, and they seek to take my life.'" And here's what happens. The Lord says, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and Abel, and Meholah, you shall anoint as a prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." Do you know what God said? God said, "Elijah, there's other people that are out there. I've got other people that are ready to step in, and they're doing some incredible things, and you don't see it because you're so focused on what's going on in your life. You're not alone. You're not alone. He said, I've got people to go ahead and place as kings, and I've even got an assistant for you that's going to do greater things than what you have done. His name is Elisha. You're not alone. Sometimes we just need to know that we're not alone, right? Today, you're not alone. Whatever you're going through, you're not alone. There's something else that's tucked away in here, and it says this to us over and over and over, that we are not in control. Sometimes when my life gets out of control, I might go ahead and wonder why. Sometimes when life just seems like it's a little out of control and a little chaotic, then those are the times that maybe I wonder, God, what are you doing? Are you still up there? Well, when we begin to go ahead and look at it, so many of our struggles come down to control. Do you ever think that maybe Elijah was discouraged and had some despair because Ahab sat there and watched the prophets that were his try and go ahead and call down fire and try and prove that their God was God, and they couldn't do it? And maybe Elijah's saying, wow, you saw my God go ahead and send down fire and the sacrifice be consumed. Why wouldn't you go ahead and convert? Why wouldn't you go ahead and follow him? And maybe he also felt like he gave it his very best effort and he walked away with not as much as he had hoped to. There's all kinds of possibilities, but the bottom line is this. We're not in control. Ahab and Jezebel didn't convert. Now they just want to go ahead and confront Elijah, and they want to go ahead and have a little more conflict and do away with him. Not a good feeling. Elijah was an emotional wreck because of control. Can I just tell you this today? God made you, and he knows everything about you, and he knows all that you need. And he knows what you need help overcoming right now. And the truth is this, God is in control. God is in control. The truth is that we're not immune. The truth is we need to go ahead and depend upon him because we are not superhuman. But can I tell you this? We need other people, and God is in control. So what do we do? One last thing quickly, and we just boil it all down to this. Here's what we do. We seek God first, not last. Psalm 46 and verse number 10 just says this, be still and know that I am God. What happens in Elijah's life? Elijah sees God and he watches God work. And the moment that a circumstance changes, it changes just like this. Then Elijah begins to go ahead and he can only see those circumstances. And the Bible says he ran, he ditched his servant, and he went out and he was alone. And the only thing he told God is this, I don't know why you've done this to me. I'm no better than my fathers. I just want to go ahead and pack it all up now. That was it. He lays down and he goes to sleep. And isn't it amazing the faithfulness of God? God sends one of his angels and he says, we need to feed Elijah because he needs to know that he's not alone and that he can depend upon me. We need to go ahead and feed Elijah because we need to strengthen him so that he can go and be with the people that he needs to be with. We need to go ahead and strengthen Elijah and let him know that we are here because we want him to know there is more for him to do and he can go ahead and overcome this struggle that he's facing. So God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? They begin to have a conversation. We read it a moment ago. There's a mighty wind and rocks are breaking loose and God's not speaking in that. There's an earthquake. There's fire. None of those things bring about a response from God. Elijah's searching and here's what happens. There's a still, small, quiet voice. Amidst all of the chaos, God was saying, look, I've just done these things to let you know I am in control, and here's my voice. Elijah, just count on me. Because if you would have come to me first and not last, here's what you would know. You would know that I've got two people ready to go ahead and place as kings. You would know that I have Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who's a servant, and he's going to come alongside of you. Elijah, you're not alone.
Elijah, come and talk to me, because I've got a voice of truth that's going to tell you the reality that you need to hear. You see, so many of us think that God's going to tell us we're worthless. So many of us think that because we have a struggle going on the inside and we're battling an emotion that seems like it's out of control in our life, we tend to think, wow, God's not interested in talking to me, and why would I go and talk to God about this? Because I can't talk to God about this because I'm not supposed to have those emotional struggles. Can I tell you something? The story of Elijah tells us that we're in the midst of those battles. We can run to God, and he will speak truth into our life like we are fearfully and wonderfully made. A truth into our life that we're not immune to the problems and struggles of this life, but he will help us through it. A truth that we're not made to be alone, but he will walk with us. A truth for us to know that we can come unto him first, no matter what's taking place in our life, and he will be there with us to help us overcome. You want to go ahead and overcome the battles that are emotional in this life? I want you to remember that no one is immune. I want you to remember that we're humans and we must depend upon God. He must be our strength. I want you to know that we're not made to be alone. I want you to know that God needs to be the first one we run to and not the last. I want to encourage you to run to him today. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? In just a moment, we're going to stand together and we're going to sing through an invitation song. And today, I just want to encourage you. If there's an emotional struggle, an emotional battle going on in your life that you want to overcome, something that's raging that you just say, man, I've got to get beyond this. If discouragement is creeping in, depression is real. If you're going through a lot of change and uncertainty, whatever it is that you're dealing with, I want you to run to God today. I want you just to feel free to know that you can run to him first. Don't put it off. You see, even when circumstances in our life change, God is still in control when our life feels out of control. God is still fighting for us, and God is still working in us. Today, I want you to know you can turn to God and he's going to help you get through it. So maybe today's the moment where you say, okay, Lord, I've come to realize I'm not immune to the struggles. And it's not just me. I need your help. So God, I'm gonna ask you to help me to depend upon you. God, I'm gonna ask you to help me not isolate myself, because that's always the temptation. That's what Elijah did, and that's what we tend to do. We tend to go off by ourselves. We can't do that. Maybe today you would just say, I've had enough isolation. God, I'm coming to you. Maybe today you would just say, look, I battle this on a regular basis, and God, I need your help to run to you first, not last. Maybe you're here today and you would say, John, I don't know much about Jesus and a personal relationship with him, but I'd like to know more. If that's you, the moment we begin to sing, just leave your place and come. We'll have someone right down here at the front that can show you, right from God's word, that Jesus wants to be your Savior and how you can go ahead and invite him to do that. Maybe you want to come and pray about the other things. I would encourage you to come and pray. If you've got a prayer request today, something that you want to overcome and you need help with truth, you want God's truth on it, there's those prayer requests right there. And each week when they come in, we're filling them out. We're placing them on the cross. Maybe you want to come and offer one of those up today. Whatever your need might be, I want you to go ahead. I want you to respond as God lead you to. Would you stand with me, please? If you know the words to this song, I invite you to sing along, but it may be a song that many of you have never heard. I want you to listen to the words of this song as we respond in worship today.
When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire, cause fear, he is a liar. When he told you you were troubled, you'll forever be alone. When he told you you should run away, you'll never find a home. When he told you you were dirty and you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one the grace could never change.
Song, and some are still praying and writing out requests. Fear is a liar. Fear crept into the heart of Elijah and said, it's all over. Fear crept into the heart of Elijah and said, there's no hope. Fear crept into the heart and the mind of Elijah and said, wow, your circumstances have changed. And the God that you walked with and that you worshiped and that you won with, he really doesn't care about you. Or this wouldn't be happening. His people aren't supposed to go through struggles like this. You're not supposed to have to deal with those things. All kinds of things were running through his mind because we see them play out in the truths of the scripture. Today, don't let fear have that hold on you, because fear is a liar. God is in control. God does have a plan. God can help you overcome. We're going to sing through that chorus one more time. If God speaks to your heart, you've got something you want to come and pray about, a prayer request, you want to lay at the foot of the cross, you want someone to go ahead and pray with you, whatever it might be, I just invite you to respond as we sing through that chorus one more time.
Let your fire fall, cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel. Oh, let your fire fall, your love is all I fear. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel.
Do that again.
Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let fall, your love is all I feel. Oh, let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel. Cause fear,
Father, we come to you today. God, there's so many that I can think of right now, Lord, that I know need your help. Lord, I just received a prayer request for a young lady named Stephanie, mainly for her family. An untimely departure, an untimely happening, no one expected. Father, she leaves behind a family. She leaves behind friends. Father, they need your help and they need your grace and your strength. So, Father, I pray for them and I pray for Vicky as she tries to be a source of strength for them. And I pray that you would bring comfort to her as one of her close friends. Father, I pray for Nicole Nowling today. Lord, her husband walks in these doors every little bit that he's able to. Lord, now she's battling for her life in the hospital. Lord, I ask you to be with them and give them the grace, the strength that's needed and to bring healing. Father, I pray for Barb Singleton and her family. They've received news that's not great news, but Father, she's strong and she's facing it and she's taking life just one moment at a time. And I pray that you would bless her and strengthen her. And I pray that you would bless the friends around her that are helping, Rose and others. Lord, to hear Barb say, you know what? I'm amazed that I've got so many friends and people that are here and will love me and help me in a time of need. That is an amazing thing. Father, bless her. Lord, for all of us that have discouragement and doubt and fear and depression and anxiety, all of the things that creep into our life, Father, I ask you to help us know that you are in control and that we can turn to you. And Lord, that we're not immune from the struggles of life, but when we go through them, you will be there to help us with them. Help us, we pray. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.